I know it's been way too long. I know it's been since November since I did a podcast, but it's a new day. It is March in 2024, and we got a new podcast dropping here, and I want to give you guys a little bit of an update of what's been going on, some of the things I've been working on recently, and just kind of keep you up to date. If you want to support this podcast, and if you want to support DBC, one of the best ways to do it is to use my links for Rocky Mountain ATV. You'll find it in the show notes of this podcast, or you'll find it over on my website, dirtbikechannel.com. There's a link there that says Shop Rocky Mountain ATV. It's the best thing ever. You click on that link and then you can buy anything they sell, and it helps to support what we're doing here. I love that because it's not going to cost you a dime. You are going to buy all this stuff anyway, parts or tires or riding gear or whatever it is, plastics for your bike, all these different things. So click that link, Shop Rocky Mountain ATV, on my website, dirtbikechannel.com. That helps to support what we're doing. And also we're doing a sweepstakes right now in the month of March, so you can enter to win a 250 XC and a Beta 250 RR. So that's pretty cool. Let me tell you what's been going on. So yeah, I've got the beta. We've got a new beta right now. I haven't been able to ride it a whole lot, but it is a sweepstakes bike. I did put an Electron carburetor on it. I want to talk about the Stark here. The main thing of this podcast is going to be the Stark, telling you what happened with the Stark and why I have the Stark Varg. But also just wanted to mention, I do have this beta. I did put a Smart Carb on it, and so it will run amazing at any altitude. Whoever wins that bike later in the month, we'll find out. Well, we'll find out in, you know, April who wins the bike. But the point is, go enter to win that bike at dirtbikechannel.com. That's how you can support this thing. So let's talk about the Stark Varg. I ordered a Stark Varg way back like 2 years ago when all the media frenzy was coming out and they were saying, hey, we're going to make this electric motorcycle and blah, 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 blah. I had so many of you guys reaching out to me saying, you need to get the Stark, you know? And so eventually I think it was a $100 deposit, and I made an order for a Stark Varg. And then they sent emails for the next 2 years, basically just pushing out the delivery date. Okay. And nothing really happened other than they were just saying, hey, you know, this bike, you know, we keep having delays and blah, blah, blah. And I get it. It's a new company, all these things. But then around, I don't know, December time, I'd have to go back and look. Let me just pull up when I did the actual video, because I did a YouTube video on this. And the YouTube video said not buying it, and this was December 7th. So sometime around the beginning of December, I was assigned a dealer for this Stark, and the dealer said, hey, we need you to pay full price for this thing, and then they'll assemble it, and then it'll get into a shipping container, and then they'll fill a shipping container. Well, they'll wait till they fill a shipping container in Spain, and then it'll come across the ocean and take, you know, best case scenario, they're like, yeah, pay us now, and then you might get your bike in a couple months. And I thought about it, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to pay full price for a bike that isn't even assembled on the other side of the country. And I did a video about that. And I still stand by that. I didn't want to buy a bike that I wasn't going to be able to have. I've bought probably almost, I don't even know, maybe around 100 motorcycles, and I've never had to pay full price for a bike that wasn't actually in front of me, you know? So that was how that went down. And I said, no, I'm not going to pay you. If you can bring the bike over here, fine. And I know some people's experiences have been different. Other people haven't had to pay for their entire bikes, and I'll get to that here in just a second. But anyway, that was kind of what it was. It was December, and I was like, no, I'm not going to pay full price for this bike when it isn't assembled. Well, fast forward to a few weeks ago, and a gentleman here locally in Utah reaches out to me, and he says, hey, I've got a Stark Varg. It's in the crate. It's at the dealer. Mind you, it was the same dealer that I got assigned. But he's like, and he said in his email, and I misread the email. I thought he was saying, hey, I'm offering, if anyone wants to fulfill my purchase contract, they can pay me $500 and fulfill my purchase contract and get my Stark Varg. And I emailed him. I'm like, so I'm going to have to like, I'm like, what are the specs on the bike? And he ordered the 80 horsepower one, which is what I ordered. He ordered the 18-inch rear wheel and the kickstand. But he ordered, and then he ordered in gray, and he did not order the foot brake. The rear brake is a foot brake option, which is what I ordered. And I look up the option to buy that thing, and it's like $400 to buy the kit to the rear foot brake. And so I'm like, dude, so I'm going to spend $400 to get the bike set up the way that I want to, and I got to pay you $500. And he's like, no. You misread my email. He's like, I'm offering to pay you $500 to take my purchase contract, to fulfill my purchase contract. And I'm like, okay, this is really cool. So, cause he didn't want to kind of, you know, shaft the dealer. He wanted to fulfill his end of the deal because he ordered the bike and he said he wanted to buy the bike. And so it was really cool. So he ended up giving me $500. So I got $500 off the bike from this guy. But that $500 went right back to Stark Varg as I ordered the foot brake. Okay. So anyway, I go down to the dealer. We do the whole transfer process. It was the most interesting process I've ever seen to buy a bike because the bike had already been like registered to this gentleman through the app and through like the ETH. I don't even know. Like the bike, it's an electronic bike, right? It's an electric bike. And it had already been registered to him. And then we had to like go through, he had to kind of activate, like, cause they give you this Android phone with the bike and he had to kind of register and then transfer it to me. It was a weird process. I've never had anything like that when I bought a motorcycle, but this is the most quote high tech bike I've ever bought. And again, I had some people telling me on YouTube at different times, they were like, if you review this bike, I'm unsubscribing from your channel. And I was just like, dang. I mean, it's so funny. Like I don't think electric bikes are going to take over immediately. They have a place. Like just look at like the Talarias and the, what's that other? Oh my gosh. It eludes me right now. Oh, you guys are all screaming it from the rooftops right now. There's this, oh my gosh, Suron. So you got Suron bikes, you've got the Talaria bikes, you've got the e-bike, mountain bikes are exploding with e-bikes, and then these electric bikes, which are kind of like quasi-mountain bikes and quasi-dirt bikes, they've been exploding. I have an electric Motion kind of trail bike that is really just a trials bike that has a trail seat on it. And the reason why I bought that one is it has a clutch, and that's fun, and I just dink around with it in the backyard a little bit. My boys ride it a little bit. One sec, I'm going to sip some caffeine here. Side note. Today, I like tweak my lower back. I'm doing a workout in my basement. And for the first time in over 2 years, I actually tweaked my back. I was in the middle of some barbell front squats. And I helped my dad move a fridge yesterday. And we were going down a couple stairs. And I must have kind of strained it a little bit. And then today, I do the warm-up set for these front squats. And everything feels fine. And then I start on the heavy set and there were supposed to be like 8 reps on this particular block on this set. I get like on this rep 2 or 3, something weird happens in my low back. And I was like, that's weird. I do one more rep and I'm like, no, we're done. And so I went and put some Deep Blue on my back and I went and took a little bath and I'm now sitting on my desk, leaned all the way back, just kind of relaxing. Anyway, so there's a lot of electric bikes coming out there. And a lot of people had said, there were people that reached out to me and said, if you review an electric bike, I'm unsubscribing from your channel. And I'm just like, gosh, all I'm doing is reviewing like things that are interesting to me, you know? And so this Stark Varg is very interesting to me because of the things that they're talking about. And I don't think they could deliver on all of their promises because they were talking about like how much ride time it had and all this stuff. But it was interesting. It's expensive. It's interesting. And I had seen just enough of other people kind of riding it and reviewing it. And it's like, dang, this is very interesting. I wish it had a hot swappable battery. I wish it had a clutch. It doesn't have either of those two things. But there had been enough people that I'd seen. And I try not to watch what people are talking about on bikes before I get them. But I'd seen a couple things here and there. And I'm like, dang, this thing looks pretty good in certain ways, especially for moto. And you guys know I don't ride a lot of moto, but I've been riding a little bit more of it because my son, Connor, who's 15, is really liking it. And so I've taken him to the track a bunch and sometimes I'll ride too. Well, this is a bike that would be great at the track because you can adjust any power you want. Any horsepower from 10 horsepower up to 80 horsepower, you can dial that into the bike. And moto is what they've got it for. Or what they've been designing it for. I am an off-road rider, trail rider, mostly desert type guy. And so I got the 18-inch rear wheel. So anyway, I bought the bike and it's gray. I ordered the red one, which is what I would have wanted, but he got the gray. They have three colors. There's the red, the gray, and the white. So now I ended up with a gray bike and I'm waiting for the foot brake to come. Let me just tell you what happened when I... So that's a little background of why. I had some people like, oh my gosh, you're such a... Because I posted a picture of it on Instagram and there was some comments. Excuse me. I try not to read a lot of the comments. Most like on YouTube, I hardly ever read the comments. And I don't read the comments a lot on Instagram or Facebook, but I had one of my stepsisters reached out to me and they're like, why are people so pissed off about that bike that you posted? So I went in there and I looked and it is a very controversial thing. Like there's a lot of people that are just so pissed off about it. Like, oh my gosh, you're reviewing an electric bike and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm just like, I'm going to review something that I'm interested in. And but it is a polarizing bike. So I make some posts about it and some people are pissed and some people are excited. But at the end of the day, I like motorcycles and I like dirt bikes. And this is something that is interesting to me. So I got it. Well, so I bring it home. It's in the crate. I have I've filmed an unboxing video, which hasn't made it to the internet yet. So you guys are hearing this in podcast land before. This happens a lot. Like I will buy a bike. Sometimes I won't put any content out on it for 6 weeks or so, just depending on what's happening in my life and what my schedules are. So I do this unboxing video. I put the thing together. And interestingly enough, and I just have to be honest with you guys, I've bought a lot of gas motorcycles and I have purchased one or two other electric bikes. I was never that excited. The morning that I went to go get this bike, I was kind of excited. And I just want to express that to you. I'm not saying that this bike is going to replace any of my gas bikes. And I don't know that they can, especially if they're not going to put clutches in them and the distances that these bikes can go, it's not great. And then what would happen is if everyone moved to electric bikes in moto, all that would happen is you'd have 300 generators, gas generators in the parking lot of all of these, you know, riding all these tracks, and it would be louder because you'd have all these gas generators going to try to charge the batteries of these freaking bikes. So you're not going to get away from gas, and you're actually you're losing efficiency because now you are, you know, taking this little not great, not super efficient motor. I know some of these generators are good, but the point is you have a loss of there's a loss of energy as you're transferring from gas to now trying to create electricity. And so you're going to burn more gas or at least you're going to burn about as much gas trying to charge your Stark Varg as you would if you just rode a gas dirt bike. So we're robbing Peter to pay Paul if in the moto community, they switch us all over to electric bikes, you know, let's say. And that's the other thing. This bike is a coal power bike because in my area where I am in Utah, most of our electricity comes from burning coal. And so same thing. I have a Tesla. I bought a Tesla Model 3, like the cheaper one, the little car about 2.5 years ago. I just wanted to see what it was all about. And it's a good car. It's not a great car. It's the fastest thing I've ever driven because it'll do 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. So there is that. But So I have some experience with electric vehicles, and this bike is a different type of a breed, you know, and I don't think it's going to take over. You can't go long enough distances with these things. You can't do a 6 hour trail ride. You can't do a 60 mile loop. I don't believe that can happen with the power because it will suck the power down, especially the more power you're using, the more throttle. It's the same thing. Like, so these bikes are powered by coal right now. And obviously it's an electric bike, but we're using one fossil fuel gas and we're switching it over for coal at this point to like ride this electric bike, or we're using gas to generate the electricity to charge the bike. It's just kind of funky. But anyway, so I get the bike and I film like some content for the unboxing video. I put the thing together and I sync it up to the phone, like the little, you know, they give you this, what's it called? An Android phone. You know, it's like I think it's Samsung. I don't have it on me, but it's like just a run of the mill basic. I think it's a Samsung, you know, it's running Android operating system or whatever. And there's this Stark app that you essentially just log into and it connects to the bike via Bluetooth. Now you don't have to have that phone and the phone attaches into this nice cradle that they've done, which is right where your bar pad would be. You don't have to have the phone on the bike to run it. That you just need the phone to be able to, like, I'm sure it does over the air updates, software updates through that. And it also you're adjusting like your how much horsepower you want in the different modes. Essentially, it's almost like you do have five different modes that they program in there. And so you get to say how much horsepower you want right now. And then how much braking, like regenerative braking you want. And the bike is set up where all the modes have 80% of the regenerative braking, but it's not, I wouldn't even say, from what I've seen just riding in front of my house, it's not even as much braking as like you'd get on a 4-stroke. It's almost like the amount of braking you'd have on a 2-stroke. And if you take the regenerative braking all the way off, it's weird because there's absolutely zero. you know, like, quote, engine braking. And I'm not a big engine braking guy because I'm switching between two strokes and four strokes. I feel like the engine is for speeding up and the brakes are for slowing down. And so I don't usually, I try not to rely on engine braking at all. But I just wanted to make that clear, is that when the bike comes, at least my bike has five different modes, and all five of those modes by default had 80% of regenerative braking. And it's not a ton of regen, to be honest. It's not like, it's not a lot of engine braking is what you'd experience on a gas bike. But anyway, so you get to specify how much horsepower you want and how much regenerative braking you want on all five of these power modes. Okay. And you've got a little switch on your left, a thumb switch on your left hand for your left thumb to switch between these modes, like mode one, mode two, mode three, mode four, mode five. Okay. So I had mode two, or mode one was like, I just set it to 20 horsepower. And then I had one that was 30. I had one 20 horsepower, 30 horsepower, 40 horsepower, 50 horsepower, and 60 horsepower. Okay. So those were the five modes that I had. So it's an 80 horsepower capable bike. And I have the highest mode set to 60 horsepower, which is 75% of what it could do. And then I just like went out my back gate and kind of, there's like this little path. I went and then I came around to the front of the house, and on 20 horsepower, it barely moves. 30 horsepower, it wakes up a little bit. 40 horsepower, you're like, oh my gosh. I switched into 50 horsepower, and you guys are going to laugh. Obviously I should be wearing gear and helmet. I just went out with my tennis shoes on, and I'm in, you know, like a hoodie. I didn't have my helmet because I wasn't planning on riding. I was just going to like run the bike up and down the street. Okay. So you can yell at me all you want, but yes, I should be wearing gear anytime, but I wasn't going for a ride. I was just like, I'm going to see. But once I put it to 50 horsepower, which was mode four at this point, it scared me. And I was like, oh, I'm going right. I'm within a block of my house. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to carefully go back to my house and get a helmet on, because I do not want to go into 60 horsepower without a bloody helmet. That's how fast and scary it was. So I hurry, put on a helmet. I don't put on boots. I just put on a helmet. And I'm just on the road in my neighborhood in front of the house. I have not taken it on dirt yet, but this is the only time I've ridden it was that day. Well, I rode it twice. I showed my kid the next day, or Connor, but no, I showed him that night. So I guess I've only ridden it once. Anyway, point is this. I go to 60 horsepower, which was now mode five, the way it was set up. That is the fastest and scariest motorcycle I have ever swung a leg over. Let me just say that again. It's the fastest and scariest thing I've ever seen. And I have not ridden it I have not even engaged more than 75% of the power that the bike can produce. That is freaking scary. It'll be fun to get on dirt. I hope my back doesn't like feel bad for a long time, because I'm only 2 hours into this injury, but like literally, and hopefully it'll just be a week. I'll just take a week off lifting or whatever, and hopefully it'll be fine. But that sucker is scary. Scary fast. Let me tell you why. At any freaking speed, so you're running along at 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, and then you snap the throttle, and it will wheelie in your face as if you were going 5 miles an hour. You know how like on any bike, you know, like a 450 has a ton of power, and you can wheelie some of these motorcycles, like a 250 two-stroke or a 450 four-stroke, you can wheelie that bike in any of the gears. But it's harder and harder the faster you're going. You know what I mean? Like if you're in first gear, it's too easy to wheelie a 450. If you're in second gear, it wheelies super easy. Third gear, it's easy. By the time you get to fourth gear, you're having to like want to wheelie, you know? I'm not saying they don't, but on this one, you have to, on the Stark, it was like, try not to wheelie. It's just a little bit different thing. Instead of thinking like, oh, I'm going to wheelie now, and do things with your either the clutch or the throttle or your body position or all three at the same time to be like, I'm going to wheelie now. When I was on the Stark at 60 horsepower, it was like, okay, what can I do to try to not wheelie? And it didn't even matter what you did. I could slide my weight all the way forward on the bike, have my weight all the way over, going 40 miles an hour, snap the throttle, and the thing is wheeling so fast. And at that time, I still currently I have the left-hand rear brake on there because that's the way it came. I'm like, this is probably good because then I can just hit that really fast and knock the front end down. I'm not like a big time wheelie guy. I've never been the guy who's just like sitting doing wheelies for blocks and a half. I'm not that skilled or whatever. I can wheelie a little, but I'm not going to ride it through the gears or like do the balance, like the slow wheelie or the balance wheelie where you can wheelie forever. I've just never been that guy. But I'm like, that would be, having a left-hand rear brake would be really good for that thing because then you could just snap that, you know, have your left index finger there. As soon as you hit, if you feel like you're going to go over, you bump that and then you drop your front end down. But this bike, I was like, this is the scariest thing. And I went to a basketball game right after that for my son. And I told my sister and I told my son, I'm like, that is the scariest motorcycle I've ever gotten on. Fastest, scariest motorcycle I've ever thrown a leg over. And I've only seen it at 60 horsepower and it was just in front of my house. So that's going to be very interesting. It's really good that you get to dial in however much you want. I figure my gut feeling is probably for a track, for my skill level, probably 40 horsepower is going to be somewhere the sweet spot that I would want, because I don't think I need 50 horsepower, not at a track. I'm not that good. And I don't know exactly how it compares to like what a 450 puts out. I don't worry. I don't look at like what horsepower's, you know, what the horsepower rating is for 450s and 250s and all these things. Like, I know that people get into the weeds on that, but I've never really been that guy. I'll just tell you that typically speaking, a 450 is more bike than I want. You guys know that. A 450 four stroke is more bike than I want. A 252 stroke is about the right range for me, for most things. If I'm going to ride a track or something like that, I love the 254 strokes. It just suits me really well. And there's more than enough capability in a 252 stroke. I will never be able to even scratch the surface of trying to, you know, get all the power out of that. Well, this Stark, you can adjust it however you want, which I think is pretty cool. Now, how many motos you can do? I know that I've heard some people say, well, this pro rider couldn't finish this moto or whatever, but I'm not a pro rider. And so it's likely that if you went to the track and you had a full battery, you'd be able to get as much moto as you wanted. And by the time you were getting down around, you know, 20%, 15% or something like that, you're basically spent anyway. I think that is highly, highly likely. So we'll just see, because I feel like riding at the track is a little different. Like it's different muscles than trail riding. So I think obviously they've designed it for track riding and that's going to be where it's going to shine the best. I'm going to try a little bit of everything with it and just see how it goes. But I don't know when, I just having ridden it up and down the street, I don't know why you would ever want more than 60 horsepower. I'm like, that is just insane to go to 70 or 80 horsepower. That just seems absolutely insane to me. One second while I take a sip of this water or this Alani drink here. Don't you love how these podcasts are a little bit more laid back? I love it. I'm just trying to have a conversation with you about this bike. And so, yeah. Other things of note, and you guys get to know this stuff before anyone else does. One of the things I think is totally under, I think they over-engineered, but it isn't good enough, are the foot pegs. The foot pegs are very, I think they knew they were making a very heavy, well, it was going to be a heavy-ish bike overall. Let me pull up my phone. Because I don't think I did post the weight on Instagram. I just don't know that I posted it on my website yet. But the bike, my bike, without that foot brake, came in at 265.5 pounds. I believe that is the heaviest bike that I've ever put on my scale. Let me just go to my website. If you go to dirtbikechannel.com and then you look under, one of the menu items is resources, and there's a dirt bike weight comparison. I didn't post it up there yet, the picture. But 265, let's see if there's anything else. The YZ450 FX last year was 255. So it was, 10 pound. This Varig is 10 pounds heavier than that 450. I don't think I've ever weighed a bike. And obviously I'm just doing enduro bikes or whatever. But yeah, I'm looking through here and the heaviest 59. The heaviest bike I've ever weighed was the 2019 Beta 390 RR and it was 259. So this was 6.5 pounds heavier than that. So it is the heaviest bike I've ever put on my, oh yeah. Well, okay. So then the 2017 Sherco 300 SEFR, That was 260.5. And this is the exact same scale. So I'm just, it's the same scale that I've been using forever. So how accurate it is, I mean, I think it is accurate, but the most important thing is it's the same scale. So the comparison is the same. Also, the 2017 Sherco 300 SER was also 260 pounds. So this bike is 5.5 pounds heavier than any bike I've ever ridden, as far as like off-road, you know, competitive type dirt bike motorcycle thing. And you can feel it when you're lifting it on the stand. Like, I don't know I don't know exactly how the weight distribution is as far as how that goes. I'm going to try to sit up here for my back and change positions. But I don't know exactly, one sec here while I get more situated. I don't know exactly where the weight is as far as how it's distributed on the bike. I just know that when I am lifting on and off stands, I can feel the weight of it. I'm like, dang, this thing's heavy. Now, whether or not you will feel it when you're riding remains to be seen. But it is a bike that is interesting to me, and I think it's a bike that a lot of people are interested in. Some people are very scared of it, because I think some people are scared that if it gets traction if it succeeds, it'll be the death of gas motorcycles. I don't think that's the case. I think I think motorcycles are expanding. I hope that they are, dirt bikes. And I think we're just getting more and more options in the space. KTM has done that with how they've expanded their two-stroke line over the last 20 or 30 years and, you know, come into the market, and you have TM that has been making dirt bikes and, you know, Beta and all this stuff. Over the years, we're just getting more and more choices. And that's what I think this Stark is going to be, if they can make the company viable and if they can make their bills and if they can... it still remains to be seen if this company can even make it. Like, I'm just saying, it's hard for companies to make it. And the fact that they were at least, I don't know who, if it's the dealer, maybe it was just my dealer that said, hey, you got to pay for the bike. I don't know. The point is, it's been a different experience the entire way around for buying this thing from start to finish. And maybe eventually the dealer will get in that bike that I originally ordered. And maybe I will then be asking somebody else to buy it off of me because I already bought this one and I don't want the other one. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that I think it's been basically my self-appointed job to buy things that I'm interested in, ride them, review them, and then more recently, in the last 5 years, give them away as promotional prizes instead of sell them at a loss. And that's essentially what I've done. I'm still trying to make as much content as I can about the dirt bikes and about setup tips and these things like that. But then I offer them as promotional prizes, and it's essentially us self-funding the channel. Instead of me reading a bunch of ads from advertisers, I'm reading my own ad and saying, hey, enter to win this bike. And then instead of you just hearing an ad from some company that you may or may not give a crap about, you might go to my website, you might buy a t-shirt, you might use my links for Rocky Mountain ATV, you might buy tie downs for me, whatever it is. And then somebody's life is changed in the end because they get a dirt bike. In fact, this weekend I'm giving one of the guys, Kurt Beck, he won it's KTM 300 XC. He won that bike in December. Well, I mean, he won it in January. The sweepstakes was December. He won it in January. And then he said, hey, I'm coming out there. Can I come get it in March? And so he's coming to get that bike for me this weekend. But that is changing his life. And we just went out and met Gordon Grant out in Fruta, Colorado a week and a half ago. And that changes his life. And so that's one of the ways that we've decided to fund this channel. And that's how this freaking Stark Varg is paid for. That's how my electric bill at my house is paid for. It's how I put, you know, food on the table for my kids and all those things. It's how I pay my mortgage currently. And I've been doing that it's been my sole income for the last 5 years. And you guys have really been all of that. Anytime you've purchased something from my website or use the affiliate links for Rocky Mountain ATV or maybe even Patreon. I still have some people that like donate on Patreon. I stopped pushing Patreon when I found out how much money they were taking off the top. It's like they were taking like 30 cents off the dollar. And so I started saying, hey, if you want to donate, maybe donate through PayPal, because PayPal, it's like if you donate $10 to me on PayPal, I'll get like, you know, $9.70 of it or whatever it is. Like it's the credit card processing fee. But like if you donate $10 on Patreon, I'm going to see like $6.50 of that or something like that. I mean, it's crazy. how much they take. But there are still some people that donate on Patreon. I think I make around $300 a month netted from Patreon from still some really awesome people that still are donating on that, even though I don't talk about it. And so I want to thank everybody. Eventually I would like to get more sponsors for this podcast and see if this podcast could be another revenue stream for this channel. And I want to bring on guests and just have, you know, talk about like people's experiences in dirt bikes. That's what I'd really like to do with the podcast, is have a lot more, you know, conversational style content on here, longer form content where we talk for 45 minutes or 2 hours or whatever about what people's experiences are and riding trips that they've been on and different, you know, challenges that they've had and what dirt bikes have meant to them. Because dirt bikes have meant a lot to a lot of people. You know, I was just out getting pizza last night I was on a date, and I go out and this guy recognized me when we were getting pizza. And he had just moved to Utah from Florida. He was watching me on YouTube in Florida and then moved to Utah and was going to, he's doing like police academy here. He was like, yeah, it was nice to meet you. And it's fun to meet people like that. And there's some really, really cool people in moto and in dirt bikes, as you know. And I was recently out at that Yamaha event out in South Carolina, where Yamaha invited me and my son Connor to come to ride the YZ450FX, the YZ250X, and the YZ125X. I just released a video today of the YZ125X, some of the thoughts that we had about that. And yeah, there are some things I wish that Yamaha would do to that motorcycle, like the YZ250X and the YZ125X. In the video, I'm like, I'm not really here to nitpick. I'm just glad that they are still making it. The YZ125 and the YZ125X, amazing bikes. Same with the YZ250 and 250X. I wish we'd update the frame. I wish they'd update the frame and just slap it in the frame that the four strokes get. I wish they'd put electric start on it. You know, I wish they'd put a six-speed gearbox in it like they do on the WR. But at the same time, I'm just like, well, at least they're still making the dang thing, you know, and at least we can still buy a Japanese brand new production two-stroke motorcycle. And they have essentially four different variations of it. It's kind of like two variations. You get the 125 version, the 250 version. The X model is kind of like the off-road version, where it's got a little bit softer forks, a little bit lower compression, at least on the 250. And it's got a kickstand, an 18-inch rear wheel. And then the 250 has a different spaced gearbox. It's kind of weird spacing on the five-speed, but whatever. Point is, I'm glad we still have it. I wish they would make some changes to it, but hey, a little bit of something is better than a lot of nothing. and these bikes are more than just a little bit of something. They're a little bit of awesome, but they could be even better. And I'm just like, I feel like a high tide raises all ships. And even with the electric kind of push to electric motorcycles coming in, I think that just forces all the companies to innovate more, and we get more options and more choices in the industry. And ultimately, that's a good thing. It's not like these bikes are super silent, because you hear a lot of motor noise, you hear a lot of chain noise. So it's not like they're silent, you know, they're far from silent, but they're also just a lot quieter than what the other bikes are. So it might allow you to ride these bikes in some areas, you know, maybe if you had a bigger lot or whatever at your house, you maybe had a half acre or an acre at your house, you might be able to make a little track in your backyard or something and ride that bike in your backyard without pissing off the neighbors, because it's just not that loud. So there's a time and place for all these things. I don't think electric is going to kill gas, I just don't think it can in motorcycles. I'm not sure that it can in cars, unless we have a better way to make electricity and a better way to store electricity. I think it'll take many, many years, decades to get. If they do try to go off gas mostly in automobiles like cars and trucks, I think it'll take decades to get that done. I'm not sure that it ever fully does that in gas. And in the same way that like horses used to be the primary mode of transportation, now horses are like a luxury. Horses are like a fun hobby thing. So it's almost like the invention of the internal combustion engine saved horses, because now they're not just a beast of burden. They're like this, they're your pet, they're your hobby. And now we have these equestrians and people get to do horse jumping and all this other stuff. I'm not a big horse person, but the point is the internal combustion engine in a way saved horses, and now horses are this luxury thing. And it might be the same thing with electric cars, where it makes like a gas car this luxury, cool thing that people do for racing or whatever, you know, where it's like, oh, this is a bad A car because look, this is still a gas car, you know, and it has these things that an electric car just doesn't have. It has this extra sound and all this stuff. Same thing could happen with dirt bikes or, you know, street bikes or whatever, because it's like, how do you carry enough electricity in a small, like batteries are very heavy unless battery technology like increased exponentially, which maybe it will, but you can't store enough power in a freaking battery on a motorcycle. It doesn't really matter how heavy your car is in a lot of ways, but it does matter how heavy your motorcycle is because you're part of it. You know, like it is kind of an extension of your body. So I'm not sure that electric motorcycles will take over all the way because of the range problem and the weight problem. But it's another thing in the industry, and we can either bury our heads in the sand or we can like check it out and see what it is. And if we then as consumers say, no, this isn't working for these reasons, then hopefully the companies can update those things and change the way that they're being made, change the way they're being manufactured and update things. But I just got to the point where I'm like, you know, with electric stuff, I can't just put my head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. That's not a solution. So I'm going to I have one. And if my back starts feeling better and if the weather ever cooperates, because it's been rainy and snowy and everything here, then I'm eventually going to ride this sucker. So that's what I've got for you guys today. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. Yeah, if you have questions, you can email me. It's kyle@dirtbikechannel.com. I'll try to get back to you within a day or two on that. If you haven't entered the sweepstakes to win the bikes that I'm giving away, you should go do that right now. Head over to dirtbikechannel.com. You can use my affiliate links for Rocky Mountain ATV. Guys, they're the best in the business. Like you really can't beat Rocky Mountain ATV. So the shipping is free shipping, I believe, over anything over like $75. It's fast. I get my products super fast with them. Very, very fast. And yeah, they have good selection. And then if you need to return something, they have a good return policy. It's easy to return it. Same thing as like, you know, real similar to thing of what Amazon would be or Walmart would be, you know. So buy whatever they've got over there using my links, and it helps to support what we're doing here on the podcast. And I would be forever, the podcast and the YouTube channel and keeping all the lights on, I'd be forever in your debt. So anyway, that's what I have for you guys. Hopefully everybody has a great March, and we will talk to you guys really soon. Leave a single track. Thanks.